Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your presence here. We thank you, God, that we can come draw near to you, Lord. And as we draw near to you as a family, God, we thank you, Lord, that we can have an expectation to meet with you, Lord. That we're not only sitting and discussing things, that we're not only coming together to listen to somebody's opinion, Lord, but our desire is to come and meet with you, Lord, in a way that we would be changed, Lord, and that in a way that we would know you more, Father. We yield ourselves to your word, and Holy Spirit, we welcome you to come and lead us into all truth, Lord, in Jesus' name. Direct our steps, Lord. Lord, and I just commit every word to you and every thought, Lord, and I thank you that your name be lifted up in this place. And Lord, our desire, Lord, today is to know you more, Father, and to walk away with revelation knowledge, God, that will change us, Lord, will bring glory to your name and bear fruit in our lives for the glory of your name, Lord. Let your name be exalted. And even as we lift up the name of Jesus, we ask that you would draw men unto yourself all over this nation, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Yes, watching some of the races, I must say, in the past, specifically like to 10,000 meters, and it gets boring. It used to be boring, but I don't know, these last few haven't been boring. I don't know, especially the 5,000 other night, it was quite exciting, I must say. The mountain biking, is that boring? Yes, I know. I suppose that if you do the sport, it's if you know the people, it helps as well. In any case, but you might have seen, you know, these. Even in Scripture, Paul often refers to us running a race. And let's just read that from Hebrews 12:1. As we start verse 1 there. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. And so we see this is a... I feel far from you guys. I'm trying to get closer. See, this is a theme Paul often uses. He refers to, you know, sports. He refers to the race, and he refers to an athlete disciplining himself, a fighter, a boxer, training. He refers to, you know, you beating your body into submission and all kinds of amazing things like that. And so we see this theme through Scripture. And then one specific one that always, you know, it blesses me, you know, I think about it. It's not what I'm preaching on this evening, but it's there where Paul says, I fought the good fight, I finished the race, I've kept the faith. You know, when he comes to the end of his ministry and he realizes probably the end of his life, and he basically makes this very bold statement. And he, at that stage, I suppose, expecting to be martyred for his faith, which most of the apostles were. But what a powerful statement, being able to say, I see the finish line there, and I finished the race, type of thing. That doesn't only mean he knows he's at the end. That means he knows what the race was. For you to be able to know that you're at the end, you need to know, you know, what the extent of it is. So he had such a knowledge of God's purpose for him, and such a knowledge of God's plan for him and his destiny, that and he had such a peace in that he knew, okay, that's the end there, type of thing. And what a blessing to be in that point of kind of understanding of what God requires of us. That's just on the side. But then he refers to this quite often, this whole theme of the athlete and the race and us running the race. And here he speaks of witnesses and laying aside stuff that keeps us. But then I want to, we've seen over the last few days, we've been watching athletics. Sometimes, you know, the guys go off with a bang and start too quickly, you know, with the ladies mountain biking yesterday, the British lady, I thought she was in with a chance. You know, she led from the start, quite impressive. First two laps right up there. And I was thinking, wow, this is it, you know, GB. And then, shame, she obviously, I don't know, she couldn't keep up the pace, that hectic pace. So either, you know, sometimes the guys start too fast and they can't keep it up. She just still came. She did quite well still, so praise God for that. But then what you also find is guys that start too slowly and then they struggle to kind of catch up in the end, you know. So it's very tricky, the whole thing of getting the right pace going and running at the right time. And then what you sometimes get is you get, in cycling we call it, you hit the wall. Maybe in running and they call it the same, I don't know. But it's that point. I saw it happening the other day. It was a ladies' race. I can't remember the distance. I think it was a longish distance. I don't think it will happen in a sprint. But you know, the race of life is not a sprint, okay? So it's not 10-second flash in the pan. Those guys are, okay, so such a big hoo-ha about it. Any case, it is impressive. But in any case, so this lady, it was on the last stretch. It was literally the last 100 meters, and I think there was about 50 to go. And you could see like everybody like running, and then suddenly this one person, you could see just, you know, it's just slowed down. It's like you can see now, okay, that's empty. There's nothing in the tank, you know. And you could see on her face, you know, this is it now. Finished type of thing. Shame it was quite bad. But in cycling, you know, that happens. It also, you know, just you hit the wall, you realize now that you're in trouble. If you're not near the end, it can have different, it can be for different reasons. Either you're unfit, or you haven't been hydrating, or you haven't been eating. If you're doing like 100 Ks or something, you have to eat while you cycle. And by that time, it's too late. You can't drink a lot now and cook, or eat something that probably have a bad effect. We won't go into detail. But by that time, it's normally too late. You can't do much. And so we call that hitting the wall. It's not blessed. It's really not. It's not enjoyable. I've been there. You know, in terms of, like I said, in terms of car terms, it's when there's last few drops in the tank, and they're normally dirty. There's dirt in the bottom of your petrol tank. So if you go that far, then it's normally the filter gets clogged up. It's not good. Okay, so that's it. You know, there's no reserve. It's finished, and it's not cool. You know, and in life we hit those spots as well. We come to a point where you literally know this is the end of me. You know, the tank is empty. There's nothing left, and it's a place of desperation. It's a place of kind of at the end of oneself. One often hears, and you almost, you know, you having to kind of dig deep, and that's also what you hear amongst athletes. You know, you've got to dig deep, and there's like agony. The last 100, I don't know, the last one of the rowers was saying how the last, I don't know how many minutes, was just agony all the time, all the way, just pain. And so you kind of get to that place. Even in life, we sometimes face that kind of situation. And but even when we're there, you know, you're at kind of whatever reason you're there, in the back of your mind, you know that the Bible says, you know, God never leaves us nor forsakes us. In the back of your mind, or people tell you, no, but God's grace is sufficient, and it's not like you want to hear that right then because you feel sorry for yourself and you don't feel blessed and all good about it, you know. In the back of your mind, you know, scripture says, you know, that God will never never allow us to be tempted beyond what we can bear, you know, that, you know, that whole kind of grace of God truth. But in that moment, it doesn't change the reality that you're in a bad spot. And the scary thing sometimes when we're in a spot like that, in a place of desperation, in a place where we have to dig deep, and you see it on some of those athletes' faces, you see, okay, this guy's in pain now. He's gone beyond what was possible before. But spiritually sometimes when we have to dig deep like that, you know, it's scary what we find there. It's kind of at the bottom of the pond. We have this little pond at the bottom of our garden, and the top, it's nice. You know, there's no fish in there at the moment. Maybe that's part of the problem. Because they eat some of the stuff. In any case, I just had a revelation. I'll make a plan. Our landlord has promised us some fish, so hopefully we'll get some. Anyways, but at the moment there are no fish, it's just a pond. So it's not a fish pond at the moment, it's just a pond. But it's got a little feature, a little waterfall thingy. So it's this lovely sound of water in the background running. It's very cool. And recently it got very dirty. And although it looks fine from a distance, if you go close and you go deeper, there's lots of like algae growing. This is like these stringy, funny, I don't know, quite gross. I had to remove it. Now, next time you can come help. But it was quite gooey. But then what happened after, even after I've cleaned it, I realized that the nice little waterfall is turning into a trickle, and then it was just like one little trickle. And then that wasn't the nice sound anymore. It was like more irritating than anything else. So I thought, okay, let me go and check this out. And sure as anything, right there at the bottom, in the where the little pump was, there was a lot of gunk and gooey stuff, and I had to, you know, get rid of that and kind of free the pump up, and I had to get the filter out, and the filter was all clogged up, and I just had to rinse it. But the thing is, at the bottom there, that's where the gooey stuff and the bad stuff, and it's in the dark and nobody can see it type of thing, and you don't see it, so it looks like a nice pond from far. But and sometimes in our lives it's like that. Okay, we don't think about those stuff. We kind of the stuff we avoid, the little issues there at the bottom that nobody knows about. But when we come to a place of crisis, and we come to a place where we have to kind of scrape the bottom of the barrel, as they say, often then that these things kind of pop up, you know, where and you realize, wow, dear, I thought I dealt with that thing, and now it's still here, or I thought I'd forgiven that person, and now this thing jumps up at me, type of thing. And now the thing is. Yeah, so that's one of the questions we ask ourselves. Well, if you have had to dig deep like this, if you've come to a place of being at the end of yourself, what did you find there? And, you know, was it encouraging, or was it something, was it a bit of a wake-up call? And let's look at, you know, the amazing thing is that when we find ourselves in that place, when you find yourself at the place at the end of yourself, it's actually a good thing, right? Because that means the end of what you can do in your own strength, and that means, okay, I need to now choose to actually trust in God. Okay, well, we'll get to that. But let's look at the amazing fact that God is so ready to meet us there. He's so ready to meet us at that point, that low point, that place where we at the end of ourselves. Let's look at Psalm 51, verse 17. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise. And it's amazing, you know, because it's almost strange when you read this the first time. It speaks about a broken spirit, which doesn't sound positive, you know. It speaks about a broken, a contrite heart, a place of brokenness before God. And we see here that this coming to God in this state, and as we said last week, in that place of a low point, in that almost a place of desperation, where you actually decide to bring a sacrifice of thanksgiving to God, where you make a decision, yes, this is not good, and the circumstances around me are not against me, but I choose now in this circumstance to give thanks to God. I choose to worship God because He is worthy. Okay, and but the right now we see here that this is a vulnerable place where we humble ourselves before God. And the amazing thing is He meets us right there. He doesn't. It's like the nation of Israel. You know, when you come to this kind of point, you have a choice before you. You can either do laps in the desert for 40 years, kind of stay in that cycle. Or you can humble yourself, you know, can completely just say before God, okay, Lord, this is it, this is me. If I have to be honest, my tank's empty. You know, nothing more. I can't do this thing on my own. I can't do this on my own strength. And coming to this place, that place of humility, yielding to God. And unfortunately, we don't often do it before we get to that point, but we learn. But God allows us to get to those places. Get to those places where we come and we humble ourselves before God and we say, okay, Lord, I can't do this without you. I'm lost without you. Actually, if I've got to be honest about this, I'm zero. I'm pretty useless without God. Place of humility. And that's a good place, okay? And God meets us there. He says, these you will not despise. So He meets us there, even sometimes when it's a place that an area in our life that we used to be strong in, you know, even there in our strength, that we sometimes when we hit the wall or we hit the problem or we hit the deep, you know, dark pit, God meets us right there. but it is in the place of humility. If we choose to kind of say, no, I'm going to sort this, don't worry, just give me a... And normally the funny thing is we isolate ourselves for say, no, I'm not going to go to church or small group, I'm going to fix this. And then when I'm fixed, then I'm going to go back to God. You know, this is all me. And I just want to say from personal experience, that doesn't work. So if you're there now, please just don't do that. Don't try and make it happen. Don't try and fix yourself. Humble, it's, you know, a place of humility before God. He meets us right there. And let's look at what we can expect to find when we yield to God in that situation. Okay. In 2 Corinthians 4, 7 to 10, I've often quoted the verse 7 in the last few months. Let's look a little bit further on. But we have this treasure, the treasure of the knowledge of God, the treasure of a relationship with God, treasure of eternal life and being in relationship with Him. We have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellence of the power of may be of God and not of us. And then we see Paul describing some of what he's experienced. He says, we are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We are persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. And it's kind of a bit of a dim, bit of a bleak picture here. But the amazing thing is when Paul writes this, you know, he actually knows what he's talking about. You know, he's been through the worst of situations. He's been through, you know, if you read, you know, just read through actually the physical stuff that he's gone through. But that is often what it feels like. You feel like you're getting it from every side. The pressure's on from every side. We're getting, you know, getting persecuted from the one side, getting struck down from the other side. Then normally in this situation, there's a lot of confusion as well. You know, I don't know where is the next one going to come from. But look at this amazing confidence that Paul has in God's keeping him. He says they're hard pressed on every side, but he says, but we're not crushed. It'll come close, but God will deliver you, you know. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. So if you're there, if you're close to that place, know that the many have been there before. And God is able. God is able to keep us. God is able to redeem. God is able to save. In that place where it seems hopeless, He's the one that we put our hope in. He's the one that we can look out to. He's the one that we can humble ourselves before. And in that moment where we have to dig deep and we have to look at this relationship that we have with Him and the gift of salvation that we have, and that's what we're getting now to now, we have to kind of dig deeper into that. And often we are then surprised at what we find. Now let's look at Isaiah chapter 12. It's 2 and 3. From verse 2, behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For Yah, the Lord, is my strength and song. He also has become my salvation. Therefore, with joy you will draw from the wells of salvation. And if you look at it spring of water, this well, it's this beautiful picture of us having in that moment of despair, and you know, you have to kind of dig deep into this well. And the wellspring of salvation, which he's talking about here, is one that when you find yourself in that, and it's not only when you find yourself in a place of despair, but unfortunately, it's often only in those times of difficulty that we would really press into God, that we really earnestly seek Him. And then we find that the wellspring of salvation, it goes much deeper than we could ever think. That the, you know, the Psalm 42 speaks of a, you know, place of almost, you know, a place of darkness and despair, and then it speaks of a, you know, deep calling unto deep, a place where you realize, well, you have to kind of push into God more than ever before. And if you think about it, if anybody drank water from a spring, actual fountain, it's really quite amazing. I remember the first time I saw this, it boggled my mind. You know, it's just water coming out of the ground. It wasn't a very big or spectacular, or not into the air or anything like that, but just this beautiful you know, water bubbling up from the earth, pure, clear, fresh, ice cold, amazing. You know, and it was, you couldn't see down, so I was always, it was like, what now? Is it deep? Is it dangerous? You know, what happens down there? You just kind of, it just goes down and down type of thing. Somebody told me about the, apparently the source of the Jordan River is apparently quite impressive in that way. I don't know the world travelers, did you go there when you were in Israel recently? You missed that one. Okay. Apparently that's quite amazing. It's just, you know, a great example of this. It's just an you know, obviously underwater source, and it's just this huge stream of water coming out of the rock, and it just doesn't stop. And if we think about salvation, often we limit, so we think around salvation, we think spiritually, we think, yes, you know, I was a sinner and now I've been saved, and we think, yes, God has brought me out of darkness into light, and now I'm His, and I've got a relationship with God. But salvation is all-encompassing. It's so much more than just the spiritual being saved from death into life. Obviously, that is the key thing, okay? How we respond to the cross, how we respond to Jesus dying for our sin, determines how we spend eternity. But then salvation is a package deal, okay? It includes every part of life that you can imagine. And often, you know, we think, no, you know, sin and being saved from that, but health and life and emotional and physical and spiritual and relational and every level, salvation includes those, every part of our lives. And it means that God has, in those areas of our lives, got abundance of life in everyone. And it's, you know, if you think again of the whole, think of water, and it's as if we often content with just kind of taking a little sip here and there, you know, just, you know, a little bit off the top, and we never really dig down deep into this well of salvation. We kind of taste a bit here and a taste a bit there, but it's when we come to that place of desperation that we actually need to, we have to press into God, that we find, yes, it's true. He is everything that I need. And it's not the blessings, it's not only in the circumstance, it's not, you know, in the stuff that we need. But even when all of that stuff disappears, even when things go wrong around us, we find that Jesus, the person, Jesus Christ, is sufficient. Now we sing that song, you know, you're more than enough for me. Do we sing it tonight? Yes. Huh? See? you know, and that's the revelation that we get to, the point where, yes, and it's only when everything else is kind of going badly that you actually come to this revelation. Okay, but actually, if everything else had to disappear, if the worst were to happen, as I said last week, we've all got these kind of worst case scenarios in the back of our head. If that worst case scenario would happen, the reality is that I can come to a place of rest, that I know and I know and I know that Christ is sufficient for me, that in Him is all that I need. Not in the stuff, the blessings, not even in church, but in the person of Jesus Christ. And that is what this wellspring of salvation is. It's finding and that place, that source, that deep, fresh source of life and abundance of life in the person of Jesus Christ. Okay. Now, the challenge is that, like I said, often it's only when we are in a tough spot that we kind of have to, we're forced to go a bit deep, we're forced to kind of draw near to God. And I believe there's some of us here that there's been something blocking the flow. So when we force in a situation, we actually dig deep and we realize, oh dear, there's something on my part of the spring here. There's some blockages. There's some things that are restricting the flow of life from the Holy Spirit. And later on tonight, we're going to pray around those things. But so that's kind of that part of the picture of, okay, I have to dig deep now. And then I realize, okay, there's these things that I need to deal with before I can actually get those rivers of living water to flow again in and through my life. Okay. Let's look at 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2 and 3. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of our Lord, of Jesus our Lord, as His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue. All things that pertain to life, everything that you can imagine is included in this wellspring of salvation. You know, and that's, I think that's one of the things that we kind of struggle to get our heads around. But it's only when you're in that place when you realize, okay, Lord, I'm at the end of myself. I need to, I don't know what's coming next. And I have to, and I'm going to run to God, and I run to Jesus, and I can find that place of peace, and I can find that place of nourishment, and place of refreshing. And that understanding that, yes, everything pertaining to life and godliness is there already. I don't have to go anywhere else. I don't have to try and find it somewhere. I don't have to run after anybody, after any relationships. I don't have to run after anything. I can find it right here in this wellspring of salvation. It's part of the deal. Jesus has paid the price. He has made a way for us. And that provision is right there. Everything pertaining to life and godliness. And it's funny, you know, even after a few years of being a Christian, we feel, no, you know, there's all these techniques, you know, all these courses that you can do and books that you can read, and there's so many ways, and I'm not saying they're bad, okay? It's great. Please read books and do courses, but we get so busy with stuff and kind of trying to become more, you know, professional Christians. But we miss this, that the person of Christ is that spring, is that fountain of life, and that in Him is everything that pertains to life and godliness. In that place of intimacy with Him is where we you know, tap into that source. And I remember the first time I experienced this in a very physical way. Some of you will know the story was also in cycling, right? Okay, so this is very physical. And we were doing the Tar Trek tour when we were cycling and praying. And it was in Swaziland, and it was one of the toughest days. I think it was 17 hours in the saddle. Yes, after that, your bum does hurt, if you were thinking about that. Any case, yeah. So 17 hours, and I remember about middle of the day, I had an injury in my knee, and it got so bad, I couldn't put any weight on my right knee. And it was it would just kind of give way. There was just no, it was obviously very painful, but after a while, you couldn't even force it to do something anymore. It was just kind of go to the side, you know. And we were a little bit stretched out, not cycling together at that stage. But it was maybe good, because I just got to that point, you know. I just realized, listen, I'm going nowhere. I know, obviously, there's a support vehicle and everything, so I knew I wasn't going to die. But, you know, that place of pain and just desperation, and I really came to the end of myself in terms of strength and in terms of just, you know, this painful experience. And I remember crying out to God in a very loud, I was like loud, okay, just really calling out to God. It's very, very healthy to do that from time to time, okay, you know, maybe not, even in a public place, it doesn't matter, you can do that. But I remember just the liberty of crying out to God and saying, Lord, this is it. I'm calling on Jesus now, type of thing. Jesus, save me, type of thing. And you know, guys, it was such a radical thing that happened there. And you know, I believe God is that for us in a very spiritual sense as well. Because in that moment, it didn't take hours. In that moment, my leg was healed completely. I didn't have any pain. Till today, I haven't had that pain again. Okay? And in that moment, it's as if, you know, when you've put a plug in the wall, but you haven't put the switch on, you know. But it's like it's in there and there's power flowing. And it's as if I've tapped into a new source of strength and energy. And I could finish the day. It was like this. And I could experience, wow, okay. I was in Yaku mode. Now I'm in a different dynamic. Now I'm operating supernaturally. And that was such a physical experience. But on a spiritual, it happens exactly the same. It's a place where we realize God has called us to operate in a different dimension. He's called us to operate beyond what we can do in our own skill, in my own capacity. And what if it's blessed to be able to have that physical experience, but even in our workplace, even in our whatever you do, know that God has called you to go beyond what is possible for you physically and emotionally and spiritually. And that place, to tap into that source and that grace that God has for us, has really changed my life. And let me just read here. Let's read together from 2 Corinthians 12:9-10. Yeah, Paul writing, and he's writing about something that he's been struggling with. Okay, he's writing about this thing that just won't go away, this cycle in his life that he just can't seem to get rid of. Okay, and he's calling on the name of God, Jesus, in this area, and this is what God answers. He said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." And he goes on, he says, "Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches, in needs and persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong." And it's right there, in that place where our strength is gone, we've reached the bottom of the barrel, it is the end. It is in that place that God says, "Yes, now you've humbled yourself, and I say to you, my grace is sufficient for you." In that position, I'm not saying everything will change. In actual fact, in Paul's case, he says, "No, I will not take that thing away. My grace is sufficient for you." And in that place of your weakness, my strength can be made perfect. In that place where you are at the end of yourself, God can come through, and it's for one reason only, and it's for Him to be glorified and for Him to be magnified. I remember the next time we cycled that same route, well, I did. There was a year in between. It was the same day, also through Swaziland, the same stretch of road. I fell. Okay, so it's like eventful day for me, and it was one of those. It was complete stupidity, if I just have to be quite honest. I wasn't much of a mountain biker then. I had done a lot of cycling, but mostly for tar tricks, so mostly on the road. And this was lovely. It was in the mountains, beautiful Swaziland, really stunning place. And it wasn't a single track. It was a jeep track thing, road, but quite steep up and down, and then we were going downhill, and it was amazing, just going quite fast. And I think the key was, most of you will know Andres, who planted Shofar here in London, very keen mountain biker, very experienced. I think that I should have clicked something, and when I came past Andres on the downhill, going quite a bit faster than him, in the back of my mind, I realized this is not necessarily a good sign. Because the fact that, he would be going as fast as is safe to go, and I was going much faster in any case. So that was a warning, but by the time I figured that out, it was way too late. So I did fall quite spectacularly. It was funny because he was just behind me, so he had a front row seat. You could see the whole thing. Luckily, I didn't go off the cliff. I went to the other side and into the mountain. But I had like a big somersault thing, and And as he was coming past, he said, "Are you okay?" type of thing. And the moment I said, I kind of said, you know, yes, kind of I'm alive type of thing, he just laughed. You could see it was very, apparently very spectacular. Okay, long story short, the bicycle was damaged. My back wheel was bent in half, and we had to jump on it to get it. You know, we call those emergency repairs. And we were kind of jumping on it to get it in some kind of a shape to go through the, you know, to turn. So for the rest of the day, I was cycling like this, and we had to loosen the back brake. If you've ever cycled, yeah, it was quite a bad one. But the big thing was that I think I almost broke my coccyx, so it was very, very painful. And I knew as soon as my body cooled down, it would be worse. So I jumped on and I went as fast as I could, and I finished the day. But the next day was a rest day, and it was so sore. I couldn't walk. I had to go take my bicycle to get fixed. Everything, my helmet was destroyed. My saddle was just broken. In any case, and I couldn't drive. It was so painful. I couldn't drive, so somebody else had to drive me there. It's just quite embarrassing. But now I was in this pain, but the amazing thing that I experienced there was this thing that Paul does. He says, "My grace is sufficient for you." Because the next morning, I struggled to walk. It was so sore. But the moment I got on the bicycle to do what God had called me to do, I could do, with that, the next day was 190 something. Could do 190 Ks, no problem. When I got off the bicycle, it was pain. Next morning, got on, I was fine again, for whatever distance we had to do. And I realized that God's grace is sufficient for us to do His will. Even in pain, even when the circumstances aren't the best, even when everything is coming from every side, we press down, you know, but not crushed. His grace is sufficient for us. But it's in those times that you need, that we dig deep and we go deep into this well of salvation, this wellspring of salvation. And we find that it's more than enough. His grace is truly more than enough for us. That is the place where you find nourishment. And if this evening I feel there's some of us that there's stuff in there that is keeping the flow of water. There's been things happening in your life. Maybe there's some unforgiveness, maybe some hurts that we haven't dealt with, some offenses. But for some of us, there's a bit of gunk there that is blocking that filter, or that is blocking up that fountain. It's not as if God's blocked up, but it's your channel that you're receiving from that's blocked up. Okay? But we can deal with that tonight. But right there, and then Paul says here, therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs and persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake, for when I'm weak, then I'm strong. And it's a kind of a picture of, yes, you know what, a lot of people are going to know about my weakness, yes, that's cool, I'm going to be open about that. People can know, yes, here I am, this is me, I'm a fallible human being. To be honest, I'm zero, I'm absolutely useless without Jesus. But let the power of Christ rest upon me. Let me be honest about who I am, about the weaknesses that I have, but let the glory of God rest upon my life as His power is made perfect. Let the power of Christ rest upon me. Guys, it's, you know, the place where it's a place of humility, and it's a place of resignation, and it's a place of, yes, you know, kind of getting honest with ourselves. But I believe that is what it says, where that the excellence of the power might be of God, not of us. That it's a place where His glory is manifested, where only Jesus gets the glory. And that thing about in us that wants to say, "No, I did it," or "I made it happen," that thing has to die, to be honest. And we come to a place and say, "God, you know what? I only exist for Your glory. So let Your glory be manifested in this area of my life, in this weakness. Even in this place of despair, even in this place of darkness." And it's not only that, guys. Obviously, you know, in times when it's going well, excuse the pun, then we need to dig into the well as well. That's terrible. Okay, so even Even when it's when things are great, you know, when everything is going right, I feel God is calling us to a place of an urgency and a thirst and a hunger for what's down there, for what's, you know, the picture that I saw that if to many of us God wants to say, you're born again, you know me, you've walked a road with me, you've gotten to know God in a few different ways, you've gotten to know His provision, His healing, His deliverance, a few, you know, different ways you've gotten to know God. But I feel God is saying to us as individuals, but also as a body, you've only tasted. You've only seen the tip of the iceberg. There's so much more to me that I want to show you. There's so much more to this life and abundance that Jesus talks about that you don't even have a clue about. And the cool thing about this, the amazing thing, when Jesus talks about rivers of living water, what I see a fountain of life. I see rivers. But you know what a fountain does? It doesn't stay in one place, right? It doesn't just kind of make a dam there. It just flows. It goes everywhere. And that's the picture I see. You know, when those blockages are removed, and there's a flow of rivers of living water, not only do we get blessed, but everybody around us gets life. And there are people out there that are hungry and thirsty. There are people around us that are dying. They need to have a drink of the life that Christ has. Amen. So it's not just about me being blessed. It's not just about me getting out of the pit. It's realizing that I cannot really afford to just idle. You know, if you think in car terms, a friend of mine has this BMW 330 something something. It's very, very fast car. Okay, ladies? It's fast. Okay? It's slow. The lower, the faster. You know how it goes? The platter swimmer. It's like that. Sorry, guys. No, it's the when you know it's dropped a bit, so it's quite low, and it's a 330, but it's also got a turbo in it. It's not a factory fitted. It's a bit embarrassing, but yes, he likes that kind of thing. And I tell you what, I have a suspicion that he looks for excuses to drive this car on the highway where there's no traffic police or something. And you know what? I have another suspicion. I suspect that he doesn't stick to the speed limit when he does. So he lives in South Africa. So, but you know what? There's something, and maybe the guys will click this a bit better, but if you got a car like that, there's something in you that wants to check how far can this thing go. Maybe, ladies, you must help me with an example that will make sense to you. But you know, it's not good enough to go from 0 to 60 in a very short time. You want to see how quick can it go. And I feel some of us are sitting in Ferraris and the rev count is not even going up. I should stop with these analogies. But it's as if we there's this capacity in our relationship with Jesus, and you and I are just skimming off the surface. And he's saying, guys, wake up. There's more here. I want you to dig into this. I want you to dig deep into this well of salvation. It's there. It's paid for. It's yours. You can dig deep in there. There's stuff in there. There's so much of me that I want you to know. There's so much of me and my purpose that I want to show you, that I want to share with you, that I want to walk the road with you. But you seem to be content in your little thingy here on the top, kind of not even in first gear, in neutral. And I feel that God is saying to us, and I believe He wants to give us an urgency. Not only when we're in a tight spot, but an urgency to know, let the kingdom come in and through my life. Let those rivers of living water flow, that burst out of me. I cannot be silent anymore. That everybody around me can know the power of God. And not only not that they might know my name, you know, but that Christ might be glorified in them. You know, there's a story of Smith Wigglesworth. If you don't know about him, I read some of his stuff. It's really cool. But he was a great preacher. Powerful man of God, and he apparently was in a train. I think it was here in the UK, in a train traveling, and the train stopped at a station, And as far as I know, he was just doing like minding his own business. But because of the presence of God that he walked in, story goes that the people on the platform just got to go down on their knees and repent. Just, you know, randomly. And that's, you know, the reality is, guys, the rivers of living water. I think those, when that really starts to happen, we're going to be astounded at what God does. And it's not going to be, wow, I did it type of thing. It's going to be kind of, wow, God, then his life and his power at work in and through us like we've never imagined. Let's stand together. I'm just going to read Hebrews 12 again. I'm going to read verse 1 and 2 as well this time. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight, everything that is blocking, and the sin which so easily ensnares us, everything that is preventing that flow from happening, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. And then the key here, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And this evening I believe God is saying to us, look to me. Look to the well. Look to the spring, the wellspring of salvation. Look to Jesus. He is our all-sufficiency. Everything that we need is in him. Everything that we ever want is in him. And whether you're in a tight spot or not, whether you're in a place of desperation and you're digging deep and you have to press in there, or whether it's going great, today I'm trusting for an urgency to say, Lord, I want to know you more. I want to dig into that well. I want to drink of that fresh water every day. In fact, I cannot go without this. I cannot go without you. And that's the amazing thing about a physical experience like a fast or this tour I was telling you about. I remember every morning on that bicycle trip, I had a quiet moment every morning. And I remember sitting there and saying to God, Lord, today, I know I can't do this without you. I'm not going to get on this bicycle without your power. I can't. And we trained and everything. But you know, there's that place of realizing, okay, Lord, even today, Holy Spirit, I need to tap into that source. Because if it's just Yaku happening, there's not going to be no living, nothing for nobody. But if it's the power of Christ in me, then people are going to be blessed. Then his name will be glorified. And the life will be for everybody. I mean, so this evening, I specifically want to pray for two things. The first is, if there's anything restricting flow, if you feel there's the Holy Spirit, I'm trusting Holy Spirit will show you now if there's unforgiveness or stuff that you need to deal with that is restricting. Maybe some hurt, maybe some offense, maybe something that is restricting that flow. Then I trust there's grace tonight to deal with that. And then secondly, before we pray, there's another thing that we know when I come from. My parents still live there actually, a little small holding, what do you call it in local terms, in any case, like a small farm. And we have had a borehole, so it's still there, you know, there's an underground water source and you drill a hole and then you put a pipe down there and you have got a pump and you got fresh, beautiful, the best water you can imagine. It's really different than water that's been around the block few times. It's really nice. Any case, but I remember the old pumps, you couldn't just start pumping. You had to prime the pump, and the funny thing is to able to get the water up, you had to actually put water down there to prime it so that you could actually, you know, start the pump process. And for us, feel for some of us, we at that point, it's as if you can't get to the water. You know it's there. Maybe you experience like a dryness spiritually, but I feel tonight we can trust God just for refreshing by the Holy Spirit, just for the, again, a fulfilling of the Spirit, so that the one of the symbols in the scripture for the Holy Spirit is water and the rivers of living water. It's just to your, for your pump to be primed so that you can get to that. Well, it's there. Everything pertaining to life and godliness, everything that Jesus has died for, it's there. I just feel tonight there's some of us that need to get our pumps primed so that we can tap into that source. Get out of idle, get out of neutral, and tap into that, that amazing source of life, abundance of life that Jesus has for us. Amen. So let's pray together, and I'm going to ask you to come forward that we can pray. Okay. Lord, we thank you for your word. God, we thank you, Father, for the provision that you've made, Lord, that the cross, Lord, and salvation that is in Jesus is not only salvation from sin, Lord, not only to be saved from sin, Lord, but that that you've bought life for us, Lord. Abundance, fullness of life, like we cannot even imagine, Lord, in every imaginable way, way beyond our physical existence, Lord. You've purchased for us life in abundance, God. And tonight, Lord, we know, Lord, we only tasting, we're only sipping a bit from the surface, God. And our desire, Lord, is to tonight to tap into the well springs of salvation that are in Christ Jesus our Lord, God. Even if some of us are at that place where we're scraping the bottom of the barrel, Lord, we're at the end of ourselves, we're in a place of desperation, God. I thank you for grace tonight, Lord, to remove every blockage, Father, to get rid of whatever is keeping the flow from happening, and to tap into who you are, Lord, our all-sufficiency, Jesus Christ. Why everything that I need, everything that is pertaining to life and godliness is in you, Lord. And we thank you for that, Lord. And I thank you even tonight, Lord, as we humble ourselves, God, we recognize, Lord, we cannot go further on our own. We cannot, Lord, try and in our own strength. We cannot, Lord. We go beyond what is possible. We go beyond what we've attempted, God. And tonight we humble ourselves and say, Lord, we can't go, we can't do this without you, Jesus. Let your kingdom come. Let your glory be manifested in us. Let the power of Christ be made perfect in our weakness, God. In Jesus' name. And just as, you know, as we just stay in this attitude of prayer, if you know there's stuff that is blocking up, there's things that you need to deal with tonight, if the Holy Spirit has shown you something, please come forward. We want to pray with you. Or if you need to be refreshed, if you just need to be that pump to be primed and trust for just a breakthrough, to tap into that source, and I want to ask you just to come forward now. I want to pray with you. So if there's anybody like that, please come forward. I'm going to pray with you now.